Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Last year at this time, Candace Page and I chatted about maple recipes that she gleaned from 50 to 100 years ago. Candy writes for the Save and War section of the Burlington Free Press, and she joins us today to look at some slightly more contemporary maple recipes. Candy, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
It's great to be here, Rick.
Now, just to recap, what did you learn from testing those old-time maple recipes?
Well, it was great fun, and we had, I think we sampled some good cookies last year. But, you know, many of the recipes were a disappointment. They looked good in the cookbook, but when you made them, a number of the cookie recipes were too cakey. When I made the maple pudding, it was more like a pourable syrup. It never set up. And I think the reason is that these recipes came from the Sugar Makers Association at the turn of the 20th century, 1890s, early 20th century. And they came from farm wives who contributed recipes that worked for them, but don't necessarily work for other people who don't have an endless supply of maple syrup, for example.
All right. So to get back to contemporary cooking with maple, you consulted some cookbooks. Which ones?
So I wanted to see how maple cookery has changed. So I found three cookbooks, maple cookbooks, published in the last 3 years, one by the Minnesota Historical Society, one by a Quebecer, and, of course, one by our own Katie Webster, who lives in Richmond and is a recipe developer. She published last fall a book, an elegant cookbook called Simply Maple.
And did these cookbooks open your eyes to ways to use maple and how it's changed?
Absolutely. Webster's cookbook in particular broadened my horizons. She doesn't limit her use of maple syrup to pancakes and desserts. She uses maple in salad dressings, in main courses, in soup, quite often in very modest quantities. You shouldn't think about this as eating lots of sweet stuff, but it's amazing the difference that 4 tablespoons of maple will make in a chicken recipe, for example. So I've had a great time giving the recipes some testing, and I've had some successes and an occasional failure, but it's a great excuse to eat Vermont's favorite product.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm speaking with Candace Page, who writes for the Save of War section of the Burlington Free Press. We're discussing cooking with maple. Were there any recipes or uses of maple that you learned that you'll be avoiding?
Well, yes, certainly for me. In one of these cookbooks, not Katie Webster's, there was a recipe for roasted pork with rhubarb maple compote and cheese grits. Yeah, no, not doing that. That combination does not sound good. Another cookbook, not Katie Webster's, suggested a maple lemon glaze on scallops. And maybe some people would like that, but for me, you know, it just doesn't work. What I liked about Katie's cookbook was she found recipes for which maple would really have an affinity. And surprisingly, a number of those were Asian. So my daughter-in-law now makes her maple ginger chicken all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just delicious. Again, you know, it doesn't take a lot of maple, but one of the things that led me to realize is there is a little bit of sugar in many Southeast Asian recipes. So there's sugar, for example, in pad thai, and Katie replaces that with maple. It just sounds good. You almost don't have to make it to know that it'll be delicious.
Well, what recipes of Katie's have you tried?
So I have made a number of her salad dressings. She says, for example, that sherry vinegar makes maple even more maple-y. It brings out that flavor. So I make her sherry vinegar and maple dressing, her maple balsamic vinaigrette. I've made a French-style flan called clafoutis that is topped with frozen cranberries, well, frozen is what I had, and orange segments, and it's just delicious. My favorite, I have to say, is a breakfast dish. It's waffles made with maple syrup in the batter as well as on top and cornmeal in the recipe along with whole wheat. So they're a little crunchy, and they also feel like they're possibly a little healthier than many waffle recipes.
Oh, I want those right now.
They're just fabulous, and the leftover batter made great pancakes the next day.
Any other favorites from the book?
Well, absolutely. You know, last year, Rick, I touted my mother's maple whiskey sour.
Right.
Three ingredients, lemon, maple, and whiskey. But I have to say, Katie Webster has come up with a much better cocktail. It's made with Meyer lemon. So Meyer lemons are a little sweeter, has Angostura bitters in it, and bourbon. So I held a taste test with my family, and I made my mom's recipe, and I made Katie's. And hers, I thought, was better, just more complex, more layers of flavor. And my adult children and grandchildren didn't even finish their cocktail of my mother's recipe and insisted that I make more of the Meyer lemon maple bourbon sour.
That's telling. What else did you learn about maple from Katie Webster's cookbook?
One thing I liked was her guide to home cooks who want to try substituting maple on their own in recipes. The first thing she says is maple is actually sweeter than sugar. So if you have a recipe that calls for a cup of white sugar, you would really only use 3/4 cup of maple syrup. But if it's baked goods, you have to reduce the amount of other liquid in the recipe because, of course, maple is liquid. That also explained to me why those cookies from the early 20th century tasted so cakey. And that's because maple is a liquid, so it activates the gluten in flour. So you get a different texture when you substitute maple for white sugar, and that's something you have to watch out for.
Science. Incredible.
Yeah.
Candace Page writes for the Savermore section of the Burlington Free Press. Candy, thanks for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
Rick, thanks for having me.